And while I was there at the University of Washington, I was very lucky to be partnered with Michael Silverstein, who's my co-author here and in the audience, and we're going to go ahead and get started. Most of us in the room understand that agriculture workers experience multiple occupational risks. And this workforce, thank you, this workforce has a high rate of workplace injury, illness, and fatality. So one would expect special protections for agriculture workers, but this expectation is far from being met. In fact, hired agriculture workers are less protected from federal occupational safety and health standards when compared to all other industries. Neither I or my co-author have any financial relationships. So very briefly today, we will explore who agriculture workers are, identify the differences in federal occupational safety and health standards between the agriculture industry and other private industry workers, and highlight the history of one state, which is Washington State, whose current laws more equitably protect agriculture workers. And I do want to emphasize that we're talking about Occupational Safety and Health Administration laws, and we're not getting into pesticides or EPA laws at all right now. So among people who work in U.S. farms, the majority of the population is actually the farm owner and their families. Consequently, they make up a majority of agricultural illness, injury, and fatality. However, the occupational safety and health standards do not cover business owners and their family, so in this case, they do not cover farmers, even though there are a large population out there. But today's talk is actually focused on the workers at U.S. farms who have an employer-employee relationship. And among the 2 million farms in the U.S., 25% of them report actually hiring employees, which roughly leads to about 3 million hires per year, according to the Census of Agriculture. Now, this is a number of actual hires and not necessarily agriculture workers. And because of the seasonal nature of the job, it's predicted that that's actually an overestimate of the number of workers. With that said, because of the dynamics of a seasonal, migrant, and undocumented workforce, it's really hard to understand how many workers there are in the U.S. Because of that, the Department of Labor decided to do a survey and attempts to understand the number of the workforce and the dynamics of the workforce safety and health. In the early 1990s, a survey is called the National Agriculture Workers Survey, and it directly interviews agriculture crop workers and paints a demographic picture of this specific segment of the workforce. And that picture is shown here, which is that about a quarter of the workforce was born in the U.S. and three quarters born in Mexico. Half of them are migrant, which means they travel at least 75 miles for farm work. For workers who have been in the U.S. for over a year, they average 190 days of farm work annually. Slightly over half of the workforce is undocumented, and a large majority of the workforce is male and is young. So in 1970, most of us in here know that Congress passed the Occupational Safety and Health Act, which established new national priority for safe and healthful workplaces. However, in practice, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration restricts the protection of hired agricultural workers from what's known as the General Industry Standards, or 29 CFR 1910. These standards are sometimes referred to as horizontal standards because they are to protect the safety and health of all employees covered by the OSHA Act. These standards include basic or general rules on environmental controls, safety management, or engineering controls in the workforce. In some cases, within the general industry standards, there are industry-specific standards, and these are located in subpart R of the chapter. Basically, these add additional safety and health standards to that specific industry. And in very, very rare cases, there are specific separate chapters altogether for specific industries. And these chapters supersede the general industry standards. These rare cases, such as longshoring operations, shipyards, and marine terminals, are in their own separate chapters, as well as agriculture. So the agriculture industry has their own separate chapter or their own vertical standard, and that's in 29 CFR 1928. However, the difference between these standards and the other vertical standards is it really lacks the comprehensiveness of the other vertical standards. In fact, the agriculture industry standards are the only ones to point out in a very piecemeal fashion which of the general industry standards do and do not apply to the agriculture industry. So, for example, this is my own piecemeal table of what does and does not apply to the agriculture industry. On the left, you have the general industry standards, just a snapshot of what's in those standards. And on the right, the ones that correlate or don't exist in the agricultural standards. Really important ones that don't exist are hazardous materials, medical and first aid, machine and machinery guarding, and toxic and hazardous substances. So a second exclusion that OSHA practices is what's known as the appropriations rider, or the small farms exemption. Now, this is an appropriations provision by Congress to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration every year, which exempts farms with 10 or fewer employees from enforcement of all rules, regulations, or standards under the OSHA Act. Now, it should be noted that in theory, agricultural operations are supposed to adhere to agriculture standards, but in practice, the OSHA administration is never allowed to go onto a farm to see that that is actually happening. Now, there's really a long and fascinating political history for why this rider occurs, but I'm just going to briefly give you the 30-second rundown. And that is, first, OSHA attracted adversary attention in the early 1970s for kind of alleged arrogance and insensitivity on practicing on agricultural farms. And in 1976, there was a bill proposed in Congress to prohibit OSHA enforcement on small farms. And this bill was stalled in committee, but gained acceptance in a modified form as the appropriations rider. And this appropriations rider was seen as a compromise between a very permanent exclusion of small farms and a temporary annual prohibit of enforcement on small farms just for that year. However, since 1976, this temporary policy through an appropriations rider has become passed annually every year, a lot of times without any discussion in Congress. So this table, which has been adopted from Runyon 2000, shows the extent of OSHA activity that's permissible on large and small businesses on the left, on large farms or small farms with temporary labor camps, compared to the highlighted column, which is small farms without temporary labor camps. It's really important to understand that the administration is not permitted on small farms without a temporary labor camp, even under the circumstances of an employee death or multiple deaths, or a situation of imminent danger to an employee. Now, the Census of Agriculture estimates that approximately 90% of agricultural operations who hire employees hire less than 10 employees. So that accounts to roughly 1.2 million agriculture hires that do not have any OSHA enforcement on their agriculture operation. So what's different in Washington State is that they have a similar setup that federal, which is that Washington State's Department of Labor and Industry, which is their state OSHA program, has general safety and health requirements considered horizontal requirements, and they also have vertical standards that pertain to specific industries. And until 1995, the agricultural industry was the only industry that was completely excluded from the overarching horizontal standards or general industry standards. However, during the 1980s and 1990s, there was a long string of legal petitions, court decisions, and basically legislative politics that persuaded Washington State's labor and industries to finally include the agriculture industry in the overarching general health and safety standards. Now, this inclusion began in 1995 on the books, and currently the industry, the agricultural industry, is covered both by the broad horizontal standards and by their own industry-specific vertical standards. In addition to that, Washington's OSHA program has never practiced small farm exclusion. Since the inception of the Washington State Safety and Health Act, they've always included all agricultural operations with at least one or more employee. And the Washington State Legislature has never limited the safety and health of the agriculture workers through any sort of agriculture or appropriations rider. So at the very beginning, this history leads to a pretty obvious question, which is, if Washington State offers greater regulatory protection for hired agriculture workers, are the injury, illness, and fatality rates lower than the national average? That's a pretty great research question. Unfortunately, the data is extremely limited to follow out with a research question and understand what's really going on, trends through time, when you're looking at the state and national rates. So very briefly, the Bureau of Labor Statistics collects a broad range of data, which includes the Survey of Occupational Injury and Illness, or SOI, and the Census of Fatal Occupational Injury, or CFOI. And agriculture is represented in the overall agriculture, forestry, fishing, and hunting industry. However, this data has major limitations, and four major limitations that we'll talk about today. The first one is the coding system. So most notably, the coding system makes it very difficult to interpret information specifically on the agriculture industry. In 2003, there was a major change in the codification system, and that change resulted in what you could used to look at as agriculture production, agriculture services, and took agriculture services and aggregated it into services for agriculture, hunting, fishing, and forestry. So it's really hard past 2003 to specifically look at agriculture injury or fatalities. The second limitation is that this employer sampling procedure used to capture injury and illness rates could really bias on a state-by-state basis. In states such as Washington, where there is a worker compensation program that allows agriculture workers to claim injury and illness, those states could actually show more injury and illness data than other states that don't include the agriculture industry. The third limitation is that although people have confidence in the fatality counts of the CFOI data, they're severely limited because of the denominator information. And the Bureau of Labor Statistics themselves strongly, strongly caution against using these numbers to compare states with other states or to compare states with the national rates. The fourth limitation is beginning with the Farmers Appropriations Rider, 1976. For some reason, the Bureau of Labor Statistics views themselves as an extension of OSHA, and they no longer capture information on small farms. Now, the fatality data might include small farms information because of the catch-all nature of the census, but it's unconclusible. It's not conclusive of whether or not the denominator data catches that population. So the question is, can the Washington model be adopted nationally? And there's a whole lot of changes that would have to occur. The first one is, in order for the Washington model to be adopted, there would need to be pressure specifically on Congress against the appropriations rider that comes up annually in the Appropriations Committee. The second one would be a bigger cultural change in Occupational Safety and Health Administration to make the agriculture standards themselves more comprehensive, more similar to other vertical industry standards. And it would really change how the administration creates and enforces laws on farms themselves. The other major change that probably needs to happen is just within the Bureau of Labor Statistics themselves and to get them to collect information on small farms so that we can look at trends through time and we can understand whether or not there are abnormal increases in worker injury and illness in these populations. So specifically without any of this data, it becomes a really cyclical pattern of data limitation, therefore meager political action, therefore data limitation, and a complete ignoring the safety and health of agriculture workers in general. Now, this is a really great quote from 1976, right before the agriculture rider, where Nicholas Ashford, in a book on occupational safety and health, really talked about the OSHA administration not protecting farm workers. And this, I put it in today because we're in the same situation over 30 years later. And that, you know, as long as the administration itself continues to exclude the agriculture industry from the general industry standards and they're restrained to go onto small farms and enforce any kind of standards, the lack of information leads to a working population that is pushed more and more towards obscurity, and we really don't know what's going on with this population even in 2008. Okay, so with that said, I want to acknowledge my school, the Department of Environmental, Occupational Safety and Health, who actually funded this work, Ms. Murphy, who helped me get that funding for the work, and some other folks who answered emails and really invasive questions about their sampling procedures and asked for data that wasn't published and were really great with working with me throughout the year. Thank you.
I think if we have one or two burning questions that we don't want to lose the momentum from this presentation, we can certainly get to them. But I think it might be in our best interest to sort of hear all of the presentations and take the topic as a piece, if that's all right with everyone. Okay, is that all right? So let me go ahead then and introduce the two gentlemen to my right. They're going to be discussing mobilizing agricultural workers for social justice, health, and safety. And it will be Roberto Garcia and Pablo Rodriguez, is that correct? And so let me see if I can get you guys queued up. How do I get back? Next presentation. Oh, yes.